From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is taken one verse simply from Paul's letter to the Romans, the first chapter and the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First, to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Did you hear Paul's word there? That word that is fairly inclusive, that word everyone. It's a wonderful word. Paul uses it here in Romans, and he says, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. What an exhilarating word to those of us here this morning who feel that maybe there is something in us, in our lives, in our past, maybe in our present, that might rule us out of that thought. Maybe you feel this morning like your family just isn't the right family, or you come from the wrong background, or that maybe you didn't have the right education, or maybe you speak the wrong language, or you come from the wrong race, or you've come from the different culture, or what about this one? You have a wrong moral track. You know, that stuff that kind of hides in your closet that keeps you from maybe understanding that really this word everyone is for you as well. Everyone who believes, everyone, Paul says. There's only one thing that could rule you out, and that is your unbelief. Not trusting in Jesus, but nothing else has to rule you out. None of those things I mentioned and anything else. The good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose from the dead to open up eternal life for you and for me, and that salvation for us is by grace through faith. And all that is for everyone who believes. Not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. And no one race or social culture or class, but everyone who believes. So why then does Paul, in our text this morning, follow this exhilarating word called everyone with words that somehow seem to give priority to the Jews? Paul writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And then he says, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. So what does Paul mean? Why does he seem to give a priority to the Jews? Well, in study of Scripture, there are many ways that Paul would tell us, and in that study, I can find six different ways that Jews are first in experiencing the salvation of God. First, and this will never change, the Jews are still the chosen people of God. In Genesis chapter 12, God chooses Abraham and his descendants freely from all the peoples of the world to bless with his covenants and his promises. And this is confirmed for us in passages throughout the Old Testament, like in Deuteronomy and Nehemiah and Amos. God set his favor on the Jewish people and set them apart from all other peoples freely, not because of any virtue or special value in them as a people, but simply on the basis of God's free choice. We are told in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. A second reason that the Jews have a priority over Gentiles is that they have been made the guardians of God's special revelation, the Old Testament scriptures, specifically the Torah and the first five books of that Old Testament. God gave his special revelation and promises to Israel by Moses and the prophets. Paul in Romans chapter 9 simply puts it like this. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Thirdly, the Jews have a priority over Gentiles in that the Messiah himself, Jesus Christ, came first as a Jew to minister to the Jews. You see, Jesus focused his ministry, his earthly ministry, on the Jews. They had a priority in his work. He understood that God had sent him to witness to God's chosen people. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says these words, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So during his earthly life, Jesus was focused on the Jews. They had a priority in his ministry. Fourthly, the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles, and that salvation is from the Jews. These are the very words of Jesus in John chapter 4. Jesus says to the Samaritan woman at the well, "You worship what you do not know. We, the Jews, worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." This simply sums up that our salvation comes to us through the Jewish people. Fifthly, the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles in final judgment and in final blessing. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, "There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Gentile." In other words, Paul was giving a priority that the Jews have is that if they reject and squander that opportunity to understand that God sent his son Jesus as the Messiah, that it will result in a priority in judgment. And if they are grateful for their priority and trust in the mercy of the Messiah, then they will go first into the final blessing. Finally, sixthly, the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles in that Paul evangelized Jews first when he brought the gospel to a new place. Many examples, but this one from Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas are preaching in Antioch of Pisidia, and the Jews will not listen to the gospel. So they say, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you, the Jews, first. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning our attention to the Gentiles." So these six priorities can be summed up in this way. Just as God chose Israel and revealed himself to Israel and sent the Messiah and the Savior to Israel so that salvation is from Israel, so Israel must, in some way, shape, or form, become a priority in mission outreach for today. Just as the Jews have these six priorities, and just as we understand that Israel must become a priority in mission, we also can find three other ways in which the Jews do not have a priority over the Gentiles. First, the Jews do not have a priority in righteousness or merit, but nor do the Gentiles. You see, we are all on the same footing when it comes to righteousness or merit. This is one of the main points of the first three chapters of Romans. Paul concludes in Romans chapter 3, "What then," he says, "are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we all have already been charged that all, both Jews and Gentiles, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one." And he makes the same point a few verses later when he says, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." A second way that Jews do not have priority is how they are saved. All of us are saved exactly in the same way. From verses 12 and 13 of Romans chapter 10, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So neither Jews nor Gentiles have priority in how they are saved. Both are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And finally, a third way the Jews have no priority over the Gentiles is that they do not have a priority in God's covenant blessings. The mystery of the gospel that Paul preaches, he says, is that Gentiles are now full partners, that we as Gentiles have been grafted into that salvation tree, that we have become full partners with the Jews. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So the Jews do not have a priority in the participation in God's covenant blessings. You see, Gentiles, like us, are full fellow heirs of all the promises of God. So this is all great information from Scripture. But why did Paul mention this priority of the Jews in Romans 1:16? To the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Well, later on, at the end of Paul's letter to the Romans, in chapter 11, we find the foundation to the answer to this question. Paul wanted to make both Jew and Gentile deeply aware that they depend entirely on God's mercy, not on themselves, not on their traditions, not on their language, not on their culture. Everyone who believes. This is Paul's point. Paul says to the Jews, your salvation is not of your own. It is God's, and he chooses to whom he gives it to. He can raise up from stones, even Gentile stones, children to Abraham. The words also to the Gentile in Romans 1:16 would have been as offensive to the Jews as the words to the Jew first were to the Gentiles. What they thought were Jewish prerogatives are, in fact, shared by the lowliest of Gentiles, you and me, who believe. Both of us here, Jews and Gentiles, are being humbled. We Gentiles must humble ourselves to be saved through a Jewish Messiah and a Jewish covenant. And Jews must humble themselves to receive us unclean Gentiles into a full covenant relationship and share all the blessings of the promise that was made to Abraham. To the Gentiles, Paul says, in essence, salvation is of the Jews. You are not being saved by your culture, your Greek culture, your American culture, your British culture, whatever culture, or any other culture. You are being saved by a salvation that comes through the people called the Jews. In Romans 11, Paul says, remember, it is not you who support the root, you, the Gentiles, who support the root, but the root, the Jews, that support you, the Gentiles. You see, we Gentiles are saved by becoming, as it were, spiritual Jews. This should humble us, and it should strip us of any arrogance and boasting that we might have in any presumed ethnic superiority, that somehow Gentiles are better than Jews or Jews are better than Gentiles. And it should also defeat any anti-Semitism and fill us with a zeal for evangelism to Jews here in the USA and around the world, and especially to those living in Israel. So as I said a little earlier, Israel must become a priority in mission outreach today. Just last year, for the first time, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, through the Apple of His Eye Mission Society, has proclaimed Israel as a mission field. And that mission field will take Christy and I as missionaries later this year to serve in that new and historic mission field. The apple of his eye intends to boldly share Jesus as the Messiah and urgently equip other believers in Jesus to do the same, so that the Jews in Israel hear first of their Messiah and the good news of his salvation. I've known you for many years, especially as Christy and I had the privilege of working at Peace Lutheran Church, your daughter church. And now God has called Christy and I to go and serve in Israel. And we are here today to ask for your prayers, for your support, financial prayers, and any other way. We are privileged to be able to serve under you and serve for you. as you celebrate these last few weeks, your mission statement, and today specifically, share the gospel. We are privileged to be a part of that effort on your behalf to share that gospel. In your worship, in your bulletin, there is a pray for us and an envelope that we have included there for you to look at, to pray over, to read, and we would encourage you to pray for us as we go to Israel later this year so that the Jewish people in Israel might know Jesus as the Messiah. We thank you for supporting us these many years at peace, and now we ask for your continued support as we go forward to serve you in the land of Israel. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for opening up the scriptures to us today and sharing your plan of salvation for Jewish and Gentile people. Thank you that your plan is a plan of grace for everyone who believes. Amen.